So today is a day of Jesus stories. These stories of how God has intervened in our lives. And so I've got actually seven people ready to share some testimonies, either of something that happened when Jesus first got a hold of their life, or a God moment, a time where God just really showed up in a powerful way, or even something maybe more recently, where they've gone through something tough recently and just really found the peace of God there. So I'm hoping that, pray for them as they share, because sharing your story can be kind of scary stuff, and their mean old pastor has asked them to keep it to 4 minutes each. So that's tough. And so that's a lot, because there's so much heart and so much story in all of these places, but I just want there to be time for everybody to share. So with that in mind, I'd like to invite my friend and neighbor, Daryl Goodman, up to share a little bit about what happened when he first came to Christ, and the difference that it made in his life. You did. I even came up all the way onto the stage. I appreciate that.
I like that.
I know. Well, see, if you're in the light, then people can see you better.
They're
not as scary as they look.
I better hurry, huh?
No, you're good. You're good. Okay.
You know, I thought about what to say, and I knew I'd mess it up, so here it goes. Hi, my name is Daryl Goodman. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. I was saved when I was 8 years old, and thanks to didn't go so good when I was about 20, 21, somewhere in there. So I did some pretty bad stuff from 20 to 40. But June 3rd, 1989, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. I don't know how, but he did. I was at a preaching service. Next thing I know, I was face down at the altar praying. And I had drugs on me that day at church. You know, not a good place to have them, but, you know. On my way home, they flew out the window. I've been clean and sober for 33 years. But the most important part of this, it wasn't me, because I tried. It was Jesus. There's a Philippians 4:13 says, Daryl, can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I laid on that thing for a lot of years. I smoked. 3 months later, I quit smoking. I replaced drugs with Jesus. And it's been a pretty good role. Been a pretty good role.
That's a good trade.
Yeah.
That's a good trade.
Yeah. But if there's somebody out there, I mean, someone on thingy out there, that camera back there that thinks no one cares about them, I do. Call the church. Get a hold of somebody that can help you. Yeah. I promise. His name is Jesus.
That's right. Now, Daryl, before you step down, I want you to see something. Okay. Who here, when you heard Daryl's story, you would say, I can relate to some part of that story? Just, if you do, just raise your hands high. Look around the room. Okay. That's why you're among friends. Because all around the room are stories of how Jesus, and you can even do did you catch the wide shot so you can see that? And Chris will catch that. Will you put your hand up again? Put up your hand up again. Chris, will you do that room shot?
Praise Jesus.
There we go.
Hallelujah.
Okay, because I want you to know that when we give our lives to Jesus, he changes something on the inside.
He does.
You've experienced that.
He does.
That's right.
Yep.
So thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for setting Daryl free.
Not I, but Christ.
That's right.
Yep.
Right. All right. Well, let's give him another hand. And I want to invite Ailette Ness to come up. Now, one of the things about at least the first three people that are sharing that really I really am tickled by is these are also people that are part of my seniors ministry team. That they go to and we serve together at places like Bonaventure or sometimes Avamere and other places like that. So, all right. So let's yeah, Michael, let's pull that camera right on back on here. And Ayla, tell us, like, what's the difference that Jesus has made in your life?
Well, I have to, first of all, hi, I'm Aylette Ness, and I have to say that I am one of the fortunate ones, blessed, I would say. Never had problems with drugs or alcohol, broken marriage. I've been married almost 51 years to the same person. And so my life sounds idyllic, right? Except I have a spirit of fear, of anxiety. I love that last song we just sang, that fear has no hold when the love of God is there. And so years ago, God gave me the scripture from Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with your whole heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I get so frustrated with myself because I have a fear of getting lost when I'm driving. We've lived in the Wenatchee Valley for over 40 years, and I still panic when I have to drive to someplace new. And before we got navigation, you'd find me wandering around, and then panic would set in. And then it was, Lord, please, Lord, lead me to there. And you know what? It's right there. Fear of not doing a job good enough. Growing up, I never did anything good enough, even though I had good grades and I graduated from college at the top of my class. And I was never satisfied. My parents were never satisfied. So if you notice my words, I'm saying I a lot. Me, I wasn't, I can't. Because I can't. God can. And if I trust in him with my whole heart, not just a little section of it, but the whole heart, and if I don't lean on my own understanding, then I'm doing okay.
Yep. Good word. Who here can relate to some part of Aylette's story? You're like, okay, I struggled with anxiety, fear, and knowing Jesus makes all the difference. Yes. That's right. Thanks for being bold. Thanks for being brave. As you're thanking her and praying for her, I've got her preaching at Bonaventure this afternoon. Just want you to know that. So she's excited about that. Part of my preaching team, seniors ministry. And one of my other developing preachers in the congregation I am so proud of is Barb McCardle. And so Barb's going to come up and share some of her story and some of how Jesus has made a difference in her life more recently. So Barb, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Good morning, congregation. I am Barb McCardle, and I greet you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am very excited this morning to share with you as I tell you how the Lord has healed me through an amazing outreach. My husband of 58 years died 3 years ago. And those of you who knew Ray knew how much he loved the Lord. Any chance to teach, preach, witness, Ray was right there. We ministered together at Bonaventure Living, Senior Living Facility for 5 years. And over the years, taught many, many, many Bible studies in our home. We were a team. I could pray. I would read scriptures. I would do hugs. Oh, lots of hugs at Bonaventure. And of course, I could put on the coffee and make cookies. But when Ray died, I thought that part of me died also. There was just no way I could carry on Ray's legacy. And as I worked through my grief and time passed, I said, Lord, I need a purpose. I want whatever time I have left to count for something. Show me what you want me to do. And oh boy, he answered that prayer big time. He said, Barb, I want you to forget your past failures, your past successes. I want you to go forward, and I want you to rekindle that passion that you have for the elderly. And then he sent me 5 amazing folks. I spend 4 afternoons a week with 5 different seniors, folks who are dealing with Alzheimer's, blindness, knee replacements, heart problems. They have lived the most amazing lives, and their stories are absolutely great. And I am honored to spend that time with them. I am now back at Bonaventure, and thanks to Andrew's encouragement and his confidence in me, I'm preaching. Andrew reminded me that it wasn't just Ray's legacy, it was our legacy.
That's right.
And I plan to continue that. So I just thank the Lord every day for the love that he gave Ray and I for the seniors. They are amazing people, and they just bring me so much joy. My prayer for each and every one of you would be that you could find an outreach that would bring you the kind of joy that I've found. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Barb. Song that Barb has been especially meaningful to Barb, and so we're gonna let's sing some of this together. First verse and chorus, I bet you know it, or many of you will know it.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the
I'd like to invite Bob Floyd to come up and tell a story of a time that God intervened in his life in a very powerful way.
So when I was in my 20s, I had an opportunity to work at a Covenant Church school in Ecuador. Anyway, the Covenant has 3 schools there, and I taught English in one of those schools. And one day, when we were sort of bored, we said, well, let's go for a drive. Well, where do you go for a drive when you live in the Andes? You go into the mountains. So we had heard that way up at 14,000 feet, which was way above us, there was an abandoned sulfur mine. Well, why would you want to go to an abandoned sulfur mine? Not because of the smell, believe me. It was just something to do. So we hopped in our little Ford Fairlane station wagon with stick shift and headed up on the very, very narrow, windy dirt road to the sulfur mine. Well, it all went pretty well till we got within eyesight of the mine, and I drove through a puddle. And in that puddle, my car got high-centered. If you know what that means, you're stuck. So I said, well, now what do we do? And then I thought, as Andrew did when he experienced the money coming from the machine, that maybe there's some way we could get out of this. So we got out of the car. Again, this is at 14,000 feet, nobody anywhere. So I said, well, this is a pickle. And then I turned around, and there were 2 young Ecuadorian men. I don't know where they came from. They didn't even have coats on, and this is cold. So they jacked up the car, and I got in it, and they pushed the car forward to the point where I could actually drive away. And when I turned around to thank them, they were gone. Imagine that. So God stepped in and rescued me. So that's my story of faith. Thank you.
Thanks. So before you go all the way down there, Bob, I want to give you a chance to, for those of you who have had something that you think I might have had an angelic encounter, like something has happened where you go, I have no explanation for this. I just know that God got me out of something. And you've got some story like that? Yeah.
It happens.
It happens. It happens. Miracles happen. Miracles happen. Bob, thanks so much for sharing your story. I want to invite up another Bob Tridle, to share a story of something that, well, just how God got a hold of his life and who God used to do that.
Thank you for allowing me to be here and for you to listen to my story. Anyway, last Sunday, the pastor issued cards and said right on there one word that since Christ came into your life, how it changed your life. And of course, I've been forgiven. But that was not the first word I thought about. The first word was a future. Christ gave me an everlasting future. And I want to start out by saying when I was a teenager, my folks lived in Omak, and they had an apple orchard. And how do you spell apple orchard? It's W-O-R-K, work. That's all it was to me, it was work, and I hated it. It seemed like we were just working all the time. There was nothing fun about it. So when I was 18, I had to get away from the orchard, and on my own, I joined the Navy, spent 4 years, and little did I know when I was in the Navy that I met a friend that happened to be from Cashmere, Washington, and he also had a sister and a friend that moved to Seattle. I had moved to Seattle to go to work for Boeing, and the man that we were rooming with was Ted. I don't remember his last name, but anyway, one of Jan's friends, or either Harlan's sister, called up and wanted Ted to know if Ted would take Jan out for a date. Well, it just so happened that Ted had to work that night, so they asked me. And about 2 minutes after I met Jan, I knew I was going to marry that gal. We just celebrated our 60th last December. My story doesn't end there because Jan was a Christian believer and I was not. So through many prayers by her and several congregations, I became a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And that was in 1987, in the summer of 87. And I was baptized there, and I wanted to know all about Christ. So we went to Bible school in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and then a year in Baker. And then we spent 13 years with a mission down in Florida. And I wouldn't trade one minute of it for anything. And Christ gave me an everlasting future. Thank you.
Amen. Well, Bob, before you step down, who here can relate to some part of Bob's story? Like God brought a special person into your life, and that's how he got your attention. That's how you came to faith. See, look at that. stories like this all around the room. That's right. God uses those special people, special like you. We married up, both of us did, right? Let's be honest, okay? But God uses special people in our lives to lead us into closer relationship with Him. Yeah. Thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for sharing your story. I'd like to invite Patty Foster to come up. She's got a story of God touching and moving in her life, and hers is also a story of some healing as well. Incidentally, Patty's another part of our seniors ministry team. She's getting ready to start leading a Bible study at Avamere.
Yay,
exactly. So
can I use that?
I can, Harold, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Do you want me to hold this for you? You got it?
No, I got
it.
You
got
Thank
it.
You.
Right. Okay.
I'm probably way too loud. Okay, a lot of you know that I've been single for 26 years, and I've been dying to ask this question. Does this outfit make me look fat? And also, does that camera add 10 pounds? Okay, I'm a little different. I have to write things down. I've been known to forget what I'm saying in the process of saying, so I had to write this down. So a little background. My parents got divorced when I was 8. My mom was an abuser, self-explanatory. Tried to make friends at a new high school. Popular kids didn't like me. I was totally accepted by a cigarette and weed smoking group. I was really a wayward child. I met a guy, got married within 3 months, found out he was shooting cocaine. And, you know, we all know that bad company corrupts good character. So at that point, I was hook, line, and sinker. For 7 years, I shot cocaine and smoked pot and cigarettes. I thought I was going to live and die just like that. His mom was a Christian, and she prayed for us, and the neighborhood prayed for us, and they would come over, and they would talk to us, and it just fell on deaf ears. It was like, you know, don't waste your time. One day, on an all-night high, my ex called the 700 Club. They recommended a church in our area, and when we went, we knew that that church was special. Something was going to happen. The next week we went there, and the worship was great. And afterwards, the worship leader sat next to us. I don't know why, but I cried all through the service. Couldn't tell you what it was about. And he said to my ex-husband, he said, I really think the Holy Spirit is speaking to your wife. Would you like to speak to somebody about Jesus? And I said, yes, I do. And he spoke to us about Jesus and how he forgives. And we said the sinner's prayer, and we got saved. Come morning, there was something different, a relief, like a heavy burden was lifted. We didn't feel like getting high anymore. I delivered just like that. And it's been 38 years since then. Long story short, we got a divorce for biblical reasons. Of course, I got the two boys with me on my own, two boys, but I wasn't scared. God gave me the strength to work and raise them, and Jesus gave me the grace, mercy, and kindness that I needed. Did times get tough? Sure. But we never went without. It was like Moses in the desert. You know, our shoes lasted forever, our clothes lasted forever. I didn't have to spend a lot of money on them. And if you don't believe in prayer, I beg you to reconsider. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. Oh, okay. This church prayed me out of a coma. They prayed for me so much, God probably said, all right, already, she's going to live. It's impossible to tell you all that God has gotten me through or how many times he has blessed me. He's a friend like no other. So much easier to let God lead your life than to struggle to do it on your own way. Trust me, you're no match for God. I gave him all my worries and my thanks. He's heaped gobs of grace and mercy on my life. Every night I pray that he'll never leave me and that I'll never let go of him. And that's my story.
Thanks, Patty. So, hey, okay. Who can relate to some part of Patty's story? Yeah.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
You know, during COVID, when I came out of...
Yeah, because what put you in a coma?
Yeah, the COVID. A COVID coma, I'm telling you. I didn't know I even could do that. I came out of the coma, and everyone's saying, you've got COVID, you're okay, you're going to... And I was like, you know... I don't know why, but I lost all my senses. While I was in recovery, I hallucinated. I thought I saw my dad there, and we talked. And I thought I saw this other guy who's my friend husband there, and we talked and had a really good time. Guess what? They were never there. And so what the staff saw was me talking to no one. So they probably thought it was bad. I lost my use of my legs, but with God and Kashmir Care Center and this church full of prayers, I'm here today.
Yeah. Yeah. Patty is absolutely a miracle story. Absolutely a miracle story. Okay. Make sure you can get down those. Yeah. These steps are kind of crazy. All right. Okay.
It was stumbling to my seat.
So we've got at least one more story. Susan, would you come and share your God moment?
Knee replacement.
That's okay. Yeah, nothing wrong with coming up in careful ways.
The part I can relate to is talking to no one and realizing that, wait a minute, there's nobody left here. With Patty was saying, I've got a story that actually has two endings. One of them has to do with me, and one of them has to do with a client of mine. Let me start off by saying that I used to work for Child Protective Services as a caseworker and as an investigator. And one of my families that I was assigned was a family that had moved down from the reservation. When I say moved, I'm not really sure how they got here, but it was a single mother with six children, three girls, three boys. They were 1 year apart. The girls were 9, 10, and 11, and the boys were 12, 13, 14. And so when they got down here, their mom was seriously in need of drug and alcohol center training, whatever she needed to get in. I mean, they were homeless, all the things in that one song that we were just singing. I mean, it was kind of a helpless, hopeless situation. And to put on top of that, the kids had severe head lice. And let me tell you, if there's foster parents in this audience, I can't thank you enough. I mean, trying to place six children, and you're supposed to try to keep families together and try and envision how you do this. Well, we were able to place three of the children with the girls in Wenatchee, but then we weren't able to place the boys. Now, the boys wound up in Yakima. They came, Yakima offered their services because down in Toppendish, there's a large Native American population. Anyway, the mom, I was calling around trying to find a place where she could go into treatment. And you try to keep the kids along with the parents close enough together so that they can have some visitation. Well, there was nothing in Wenatchee. We are a very busy community and with a number of problems, as you know. Anyway, I finally found a place in Yakima. And it was a place that ultimately, if you got someone into the treatment, if they should stay and move along, they're able to get their their children with them at some point in time. Well, before any of this happened and I had to place the children, I said, her name was Marie. Marie, we want to help you try to be as close to family as you can. What's your family look like? And she said, everybody's an alcoholic. Everybody except my brother George. He was an alcoholic, but he got away. I haven't seen him in 6 years. I'd love to see him, but she didn't have the luxury of having a way to try to find him. No cell phone, no computer. Anyway, she went down to a place in Yakima. Maybe you've heard of Sundown. I actually want to put a plug in for them if anybody's ever looking for a place. Went into Sundown, and when she went in to meet with her counselor, she walked in, and who do you suppose the counselor was? It was George. It was George. I mean, an absolute 1 in 7 million chance, or more, whatever. And so, ultimately, the family was reunited. Everybody moved down to Yakima. They all wound up living in a home that was found for them. And, I mean, this was an absolute miracle. And I was so busy in my head and with all my cases that I didn't see what a God miracle this was. This had to be divine intervention. It just had to be. And I don't think I even saw it until maybe a week or so later. Marie called me, and she wanted to know if I was an angel. And I said, I didn't even get it. What do you mean? I was more like a taxi driver. But the fact that I didn't stop to even see what had happened here was yet another miracle in my book. And so that's one of my many stories with people that are in need. This one just stood out, and I thought I'd share it with you.
Thank you so much. Who here can relate to where it seems like God just showed up in some situation providentially? Like Susan said, like 1 in 7 million chance. Yeah, those kinds of stories of God just intervening in our life. Now, kind of before we transition into a song of worship, I wanted you to have a chance to if there is last week I invited you to come and write a word. If you have a word or just a phrase that would describe something that God has done in your life, whether that is like Daryl's story of freedom from addiction or like Ailette's story of freedom from fear, but if you just have a story that or a short phrase of what God has done in your life, will you just share that right now? And if you're online, just type it out right now, and one of our online pastors will be interacting with you. But what is if somebody was to ask you, what has Jesus done in your life? What might you say? Healing. How, grace. Forgiveness. I got a place to live, says Tammy. What else? Miracles. Purpose. Redemption. Strength. Say that again. Family. That's right. Hope. Say that again. Set apart. Set apart. Set apart.
So, Lord, thank you for all these things that you've done in our lives. Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the redemption. Thank you for the family. God, thank you for setting us apart. Lord, may our lives respond to you. May praise and worship and adoration just flow out of our lives in response to your grace. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
See your hand like a paintbrush on the tundra. The waves of gold meet the ripples of the sea. Your instrument. destruction in the sand cranes, in the salmon, as they migrate to the place you have them be. Creator God, your handiwork is a wondrous. In every place you allow us to explore. Creator God, wrapped in so much beauty. All the earth is yours. Your voice, like the wind blows through the pine trees, they bend and sway by the power of your breath. I feel your love like the sunshine on the meadow. As daylight brings its warmth. Is a wondrous.